Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello, welcome in Thursday edition of the Hoosier Report. Lots to get to today. Lee Kelly is with me in studio for the Thursday show as normal. And Lee, yesterday, Jeff Rabjohns of Pigs.com, he broke the news. Ed Schilling, a guy with all sorts of connections to our state in basketball, an assistant coach for Archie Miller since he arrived in Indiana at IU, was going to leave the program to pursue other basketball opportunities, was the way that Jeff's report was worded. That had not been confirmed at all by Archie Miller or by the school until like 30 seconds ago. I just got the press release from IU. It says, Indiana University men's basketball coach Archie Miller has announced that Ed Schilling will not remain as an assistant coach for the Hoosiers and will look to pursue other opportunities in basketball. This is a quote from Archie. I appreciate Ed for his hard work and dedication to our program and wish nothing but the best for he and his family. His contributions were extremely beneficial to what we are trying to accomplish. The release goes on to say Schilling, a Lebanon, Indiana native who joined the staff 2 years ago, came to IU from UCLA and was the head coach at Park Tudor. Of course, that's where Yogi Ferrell attended school prior to moving to California in 2013. Another quote, this is from Schilling. It says, quote, it was a blessing to have the opportunity to return home to my family, friends, and high school coaching camaraderies. I'll forever be appreciative of Indiana University and the fine IU athletic department and basketball program. I'm looking forward to the next chapter in God's plan. Now, this is interesting because, Archie came in, like any coach, Lee, in Division I basketball, brought his own staff, built his own staff. There were really no holdovers, at least on the actual coaching spots, from previous coach Tom Crean. One of the knocks of Archie that's pretty consistent from the fan base is there is no IU connection on the bench. No former player, no one that has any sort of deep connection to the program. Derek Elston is on the bench, but he's not in a coaching role as far as in the game coaching and that sort of thing. Ed Schilling, in a way, even though he's not an IU guy, filled that vacancy, that role, because of how deeply he is rooted in basketball in Indiana. His dad was a longtime high school coach. Ed was a longtime high school coach. Ed is trained and worked with from an AAU perspective and an individual training, small group training perspective. Many of the best players while he was at Park Tudor High School as the coach, not just his own with Yogi Ferrell and others at Park Tudor, but others from the state. So interesting to see that he's leaving. Interesting to see the timing of it. Interesting even to me to hear the wording of it from both guys as they have quotes in this release now that it's been confirmed by Indiana. But interesting. We'll see how this plays out. I don't know that we'll ever know all the background or exactly why Ed Schilling is leaving the program, but you would think that changes normally happen at the conclusion of the season if someone's going to get fired, and I don't know at all that that's the case here. That would normally happen at the end of the season if somebody was unhappy or wanted to pursue another opportunity or another friend that got a coaching job, you know, in the off season, which all those things pretty much happened months ago. So it's a little late for that to happen. It's interesting to see where Archie will go and how this will shake out. But definitely for the off season, this is big news for the IU basketball program.
And the way it reads, it's like Archie wants him to leave, not Ed's got a better opportunity in going somewhere else, will go somewhere else. But it's like whatever happened, it was Archie's decision to say goodbye to him. And is there somebody out there? I saw the story this morning before I left home on Inside the Hall, Alex Bozich's website, and fans were going nuts. The usual amount of weeping and gnashing of teeth, as they say, over this. They blamed it all on Archie, you know, oh, the sinking ship and the usual things going on. I have no idea. Of course, it was the names that were flying up. Well, let's go to Michigan State and get, help me out.
Dane Fife.
Well, Dane Fife, I think, is probably the head coach in waiting at Michigan State.
I don't know. That's interesting. That's another topic we can talk about. But that he's got a guy on the bench, and I was trying to think of his name this morning, but he, a former player, was a great player at Michigan State. He's been there longer than him.
Oh, okay.
Michigan State guy. So I think that perception is there by a lot of Indiana people that maybe Dane, and maybe he is. I can't tell you I know the lay of the land with Michigan State basketball, but you know, obviously his name by fans, and when you talk about assistant coaches, his name comes up a lot because he's in the Big Ten. He's had success. He's, you know, from the Midwest. He's coached a Division I program in Fort Wayne for a few seasons. Calbert Chaney's name also comes up. He's been in the coaching ranks or in the college basketball world on and off. But those are the two that really, I think, Michael Lewis, who just got hired at UCLA. It's a shame the timing didn't work out. You know, when Michael Lewis made the jump or the move to UCLA, it was because his head coach had gotten fired in that period where all this movement normally takes place with head coaches and assistant coaches, the way everything falls into place. That's what I'm saying by the timing. It's just a little late. It's a little different time as well. So definitely interesting. I have always had a great consideration, a great viewpoint on Ed Schilling. When he was hired at Indiana by Archie Miller, when that was announced and it was rumored that it was going to happen, I thought that was a major play for Archie to get Ed Schilling at the time away from a UCLA program that had had a lot of success recruiting. Ed Schilling was a big part of that recruiting. There had been some Indiana guys that he had recruited to UCLA, including Chris Wilkes, who Indiana greatly wanted to come. And to see him come back to the state where all the high school coaches know his family and know him, there were just also the perception that he had, and this is not just a perception, there's a lot of fact to it, he had a really good buzz about him as an individual workout guy from his time with Yogi Ferrell and his time working out other really good players at Park Tudor and in the state when he was a high school coach and he could legally do that. And that buzz carried over with him to UCLA. Hey, Ed Schilling, Coach Schilling, he's developing guys at UCLA for the NBA. That's kind of his role. He's an individual workout guy. That was a real buzz coming into the program. And I don't know at this point how you score his time there, really how you ever score an assistant coach's time there. Everyone is judged by the head coach and the success overall of the program. But he definitely came in with a bang, is someone that you think, wow, this guy could be a difference maker for a new coach that's trying to find his way in Indiana and he's not from here or from the program. Once he was at Indiana or settled down in Indiana, you know, we don't know the daily happenings and specific roles that Archie has assigned to coaches, but generally I'll say this. I feel like just a fan here on Facebook for a moment, but when you'd go to a game, when I'd go to see Romeo or watch the team play, he was not really active on the bench, didn't have a ton to say on the bench. Now, that is unfair of me to make any judgments based on that because maybe his role was not to be the one that's screaming and hollering in addition to Archie Miller on the bench. Maybe his role was a certain part of the game that they talked about in the locker room. But it just seemed that, you know, he wasn't as outgoing or as standing up as much as the other coaches. And again, I don't make any judgments from that because each coach, head coach, has their own rules and regulations and how they want assistants to act and how they want assistants to handle things. But I guess overall I'm a little perplexed that he's leaving. A lot of people say the fan buzz today is, we didn't get Keon Brooks, and Ed Schilling coached Keon Brooks' dad, and so he's been a dead man walking since Keon Brooks committed to Kentucky as far as his job at Indiana. I don't know if I buy that either, but I think like you said and said best, obviously with the timing, with the wording, something's not exactly correct or not exactly right.
Yeah, and I think, is there another coach out there that Archie's been talking to? Is he looking for a offensive specialist? Like, we're seeing that more and more as they talk about winning seasons, and this guy coaches the defense. Maybe we had that all along, probably did, but we didn't have offensive and defensive specialist in basketball by name necessarily. But maybe there's a guy that Archie really has a lot of faith in that's become available or let it be known, and maybe that's it. Let's start a rumor today. Damon Bailey, known throughout the state, every basketball player knows that Damon's going to be the new assistant coach because he can recruit Indiana. Everybody knows who he is. Let's see.
He's available. He's not locked into another job. He's working in Bedford at his company. He stepped away from that one time to coach the Butler women as an assistant coach, and maybe he will do it again. And maybe it'll come true, and they'll say Lee Kelly on Facebook, who's a Facebook legend, and Lee Kelly on the Hoosier Report had the scoop on Damon Bailey.
Absolutely.
To IU.
And he's a lot closer to Bloomington than he is to Butler, you know, as far as making that drive. Son's got one more year at Bedford, so sure, why not? Let's see what happens here.
Speaking of Lee Kelly, have you received your Boston Celtics fan package yet in the mail? Have you received your Romeo 45 uniform yet?
I have not. Okay. I have not, but I am excited. Okay. I called a friend a couple of days ago, and I said, if I remember right, somebody gave you a gift of stock in the Boston Celtics at one time. And he said, yes, but I sold it when Larry Bird left the Celtics. And I said, how many shares did you have? And he said, 4. And it cost me more to sell it than it was worth. I lost money on the deal. There's some local ties with Boston, with Larry Bird, and all that's happened through the years.
Absolutely. Lee Kelly with me always on our Thursday program. Lee, let's get into the guest lineup for this program today, powered by Honeybaked Ham in New Albany. On this program today, segment one, we have our Hoosier headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news, and a lot to get to in addition in our headlines to Ed Schilling leaving the IU program. Also, another scholarship offer goes out, this time to a senior-to-be 2020 class member. We've got an update, and it's a not-so-good one, Lee, on Josh Rogers of New Albany pitching for the Orioles. Earlier this week, he may have an injury which would require surgery. We'll talk about that. IU baseball gets a big commitment from Mr. Baseball of Kentucky. He's switching his state allegiances and coming to play for Jeff Mercer at IU. We'll talk about that. And also a note on Jeffersonville product Drew Campbell, who had that walk-off hit in the College World Series, which was so fun to watch and see a local guy do some big things there. We'll talk about all that more in the first segment. Then later in the program, Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall, he's with us. We'll talk more about Ed Schilling and the coaching situation. We'll talk Romeo Langford. We'll talk recruiting and more with Alex when he's with us in the program. That's the guest lineup, a service of Honeybaked Ham. Don't forget you can mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison, and you'll receive $1 off your box lunch at Honeybaked Ham in New Albany. Speaking of this, Lee, I don't know if you had an opportunity to hear the show on Tuesday with Greg Doyle.
I did.
But at the very end of the segment, Greg had been texting and emailing me about a gymnasium that at one time was on the campus of Mount St. Francis in Floyd's Knobs, or maybe still is on the campus but is no longer a gymnasium. And he had gotten a tip from a reader that knows Greg likes to get off the beating path and cover some neat historical things in our state that tie in with basketball and sports. And I had checked with David Barksdale, the county historian in Floyd County, and a couple other people that I thought may or may not know something about Mount St. Francis a lot more than what I know, and really couldn't find anything. So in desperation, before Greg and I called our segment quits on Tuesday, I said, hey, if anybody's listening and knows anything about this gym that either used to be or is or whatever the case is on the campus of Mount St. Francis, get a hold of myself or Greg. You know, Greg would like to follow up and perhaps do a column. Come down here, and when Greg comes down, we'll hook up with him and have coffee with Doyle at our favorite coffee shop, Coffee Crossing, and make a day of it for Greg when he comes down to do some interviews and some research. It wasn't, I think, 15 minutes after the program ended, Dugan Ryan, who's the owner of the Big X, he gets a call from, and I want to give this guy a shout out, Robert Doc Lee from New Albany. We call him Doc. And he was right on it. He had already run some interference and got a connection up at Mount St. Francis for Greg to call. I relayed the name and telephone number to Greg, and he's on it. So we'll see if a story comes out of it. I really don't even know the historical perspective because, again, I'm a younger guy and I plead some ignorance to certain things. But it sounds like a potential need story. We want to give a shout-out to Doc for, A, listening to the program. He's one of the most loyal listeners that we have, and he's one of the best guys I know in New Albany as well. And also for him running down the phone number for us, or for Greg, it's greatly appreciated. So I wanted to give a shout-out to him as well. But go Celtics. Lee Kelly's a Dodgers fan by trade. He's a diehard Dodgers fan. You've got the Dodgers package watching that late-night MLB baseball, and now I know you'll have the Boston Celtics package. I've already looked into it. Not very expensive. I think it's $79 or $89 bucks for the season.
That's
you
all?
You can watch every Boston Celtics game that's not blacked out. I don't even think the Pacers game would be blacked out in our market, but I know you'll be all over that.
Absolutely.
And I thought for sure today you'd come in with your Celtics jersey on. I was fully expecting that.
But, you know, I'm really not a big NBA fan, and I've told people that. Used to be more than I am now. It's more about players than it is about teams. When Larry Bird was playing, I loved watching the Celtics because of Larry Bird. But I liked Magic Johnson as well. Wilt Chamberlain was one of my all-time favorites. That man was just unbelievable at his size, what he could do athletically, and yet Bill Russell could shut him down every time they played. So the olden days, I watched a lot more than I have recently, but it's more about the players. And with Boston, Rozier being on the team, hopefully when the season starts, a little more local tie. And then with Romeo, I want to see what the young man's able to do. I know what I saw him do in high school. I know what he's capable of, I think. What I don't know is how does that translate to the professional game against guys that are humongous and quick and good. So we'll see.
Let's transition because we're going to talk about Romeo to start the headlines into our Hoosier headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. Adam Himmelsbach, who, by the way, is a great guy to follow if you want to track Romeo and the Celtics. Adam has written for the New York Times. He spent some time in Louisville at the Courier-Journal, was a great columnist-slash-investigative-type reporter with a sports lean to him, and he's the Celtics beat writer for the Boston Globe and just does a fantastic job. So it's kind of been neat to reconnect with him and his coverage. But he tweeted out yesterday afternoon that he, quote, is hearing that Romeo Langford won't be cleared for full contact at the start of Celtics Summer League practice, which begins this weekend. So that doesn't mean that he's not going to play Summer League. It just means that he's not going to be cleared for full contact. Whether he can still shoot, whether he can do other things, that sounds potentially like maybe he'll be able to. And Romeo has said things along those lines that he has been cleared to shoot and he has been trying to get back to his natural shot now that the thumb injury has subdued. But it sounds like if he is going to play in the Summer League, he won't start practices, at least at full contact, this weekend with Boston as well. A couple other notes to pass along in our headline segment. Another dollar, another day as far as recruiting goes for IU basketball. We're at the time of year where coaches are getting out. A busy June, a busy July with this new NCAA calendar, keeping coaches on the go even in the month of June. Another scholarship offer out yesterday to a national top 60 ranked prospect in the class of 2020. His name is Jamin Brakefield, and he plays for Huntington Prep. I don't know where he's from originally, but obviously plays for Huntington Prep. It's kind of an elite high school team that gathers in West Virginia to play there. So another name, and interestingly enough, a lot of the names this last week or two that have received offers in the 2020, 2021, and even at least one I can think of in the 2022 class, a lot of those guys have been out-of-state guys. The 2022 guy was from Gary West. I mentioned him yesterday. But a lot of names out there from other parts of the country, IU beginning to get a little bit more serious with and offer some scholarships too. Let's talk some baseball here to close out this first segment. Josh Rogers, crazy season for him, started for the Orioles AAA affiliate in Norfolk. If you look at his stats, and I know, Lee, you look at every game and try to track him and some of the other area guys playing minor league or professional baseball very closely. There's no way around it. His stat line, his ERA, has not been what it has been in recent years, whether he's been in the MLB, whether he's been in the minor leagues. But because the Orioles need some pitching help in the very worst way, he's had a couple. I think this was his third opportunity of the season, at least here recently, to go back to the major league level. He pitched 2 1/3 innings on Tuesday night against the Padres before exiting the game with some soreness, and it looks like he has a strained ulnar collateral ligament. And the headline from the Baltimore Sun reports that he could maybe be facing Tommy John surgery. So it's not been a great year statistically, but that doesn't matter when you get to the MLB and you get opportunities on the big stage and you get another day on the MLB contract as you work toward that retirement, hopefully. But in, no matter what, no matter how good, how bad, you're getting major league opportunities. The last thing you want to see is the local guy maybe have to go through Tommy John surgery.
Again,
yeah.
I mean, when he was a senior in high school, had to have that surgery, missed his senior season playing for the Bulldogs. So, you know, what a shame. But you wonder, has that elbow been affecting him all season? Because at the AAA level, he's had a lot of success through the years. This year, not so much. You wonder, has that left elbow been bothering him as he's pitched all year long? And hopefully we'll find out some information. I noticed in one article I read he'll have the option of trying to rehab it without surgery or have the Tommy John surgery, and that's up to, I guess, him and the team to make that decision.
Absolutely. A couple other baseball notes. You don't see this every day. Kentucky's Mr. Baseball and Gatorade Baseball Player of the Year in the Bluegrass State, A.J. Hacker. He's from Rowan County up in eastern Kentucky. I think it's a Moorhead, Kentucky is his exact location. He committed yesterday to play for Jeff Mercer and the Indiana Hoosiers, saying he wanted to play for the Big Ten champions. So IU baseball goes into Kentucky, deep into Kentucky, to get a commit, to get a future Hoosier baseball player. So I thought that was interesting. Anytime you can get any state's Mr. Baseball, I think generally that's a very good thing for your baseball program. And I think we all expect some big things from IU's baseball program in the coming seasons. And also a local baseball note, Jeffersonville product Drew Campbell, playing for U of L baseball and Coach McDonald, had the walk-off hit at the College World Series to keep the Cardinals alive, at least for another game a week and a half ago. He was named to the College World Series All-Tournament team that came out at the conclusion of the tournament last night. So great stuff for Drew Campbell. Amazing to me the number of guys. We just talked about Josh Rogers pitching in the major leagues. We've talked about Drew Ellis coming up the minor league ranks. We talk about Drew Campbell, who had a terrific season for U of L baseball. It's amazing to me how good baseball is and has been in our area. Drew Campbell, one of the latest names to carry on success from the high school level to the Division I college level to College World Series level of baseball. So congratulations to Drew Campbell as well. And one final note on the College World Series. I've never cheered harder for Michigan in my life, but Vanderbilt comes back after losing Game 1. Michigan couldn't get it done in Game 2, and Vanderbilt gets it done again in Game 3. They win Game 2, Game 3, and they win the College World Series. I was hoping for Big Ten and for Northern baseball, if you want to call it that, and for IU to say, hey, this conference is really good, for Michigan to pull that out, but they came up a little short. But what an effort. What a season. What a run at the College World Series.
Yeah, absolutely. They were fun to watch. They were having fun. And I noticed their coach, in being interviewed 2 or 3 times, mentioned that. You know, I think they've been home 3 days in the last 6 weeks or some preposterous figure like that, because they have been going through the different steps of the tournament. But he said, you know, this is a once-in-a-lifetime for a lot of these kids, making it to the College World Series, being successful, being in the finals. I loved his attitude about, let's make this something that's very positive, that's a lot of fun. And I think he did. And I'm amazed watching the talent in that College World Series, and then to think most of those guys are going to be playing single-A baseball next year. They're not even good enough to play double-A, triple-A, double-A advanced in a lot of cases, and yet they're outstanding athletes, outstanding baseball players, but the pros are just a whole different ball game.
That's a look at our Hoosier headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. It's how we begin the program each day on the Hoosier Report. Lee Kelly is with me, and we'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back with Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall. We'll talk Ed Schilling, his departure from the program as an IU assistant coach. We'll talk about recruiting and all the scholarship offers that have went out here in recent weeks, and a lot more coming up next right here on a Thursday edition of the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And welcome back here on this Thursday edition of the program. Lee Kelly, as always, in studio with me, and on the phone is Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall, who is always with us in this segment on Thursdays to talk IU basketball, which doesn't matter if it's the winter, the spring, the summer, the fall. There is always something going on from an IU basketball perspective, and today we want to cover a lot of ground with Alex, starting with a somewhat unexpected, or I think you could say definitely unexpected, change in Archie Miller's coaching staff. Jeff Rabjohns of Pigs.com with the breaking news yesterday, the scoop that Ed Schilling, who has a lot of great connections to our state and came to IU from UCLA, is going to depart the program for other basketball opportunities, was the way it was worded. Alex, your thoughts on this departure by Coach Schilling?
Yeah, I was a little bit surprised by it, and you know, I don't know if you saw this, Matt, but since you guys went on the air just probably 20, 30 minutes ago, IU came out and confirmed that he's going to be moving on. To me, the way it's worded sounds like it was IU's decision to move on and not Schilling's decision to leave IU, just based on the way it's kind of worded now with these things. They're always done from a PR perspective and to try to, you know, have the most amicable parting of ways. But to me, it sounds like IU decided to go in a different direction. So, you know, I don't necessarily know the full story or circumstances as to what led to this. But you know, it's Ed Schilling to me was, you know, a guy who was brought in with kind of a player development focus in mind. That was the thing that we heard about the most with him. And I don't know specifically which guys he worked with on IU's team the past couple of years, but one thing I look at in terms of the shooting inside the program, things weren't necessarily where they needed to be. And also probably one thing that maybe probably didn't work in his favor was, you know, he was really the guy who had the connection with Keon Brooks, and Indiana didn't end up landing him. So those are just kind of two things that stand out to me as things that maybe didn't go well for him. Not saying that either one of those had anything to do with him, you know, not being retained going forward. But, you know, I think if you're an IU fan, you got to look at this as an opportunity to bring in somebody who can maybe check some boxes, not only from a player development standpoint, but somebody who's going to be able to bring in players right now. I think the one thing that IU has a problem with going forward is they just haven't had a lot of good news lately in terms of picking up recruiting commitments. So if they can hire somebody that can help them land a couple of players, you know, in the near future, I think that goes a long way in kind of getting some positive momentum headed in the right direction.
Alex, we were all surprised, I think, by the announcement, but maybe even more surprised by the timing. We're at June the 27th, and we had talked just a few minutes ago about wouldn't have surprised us back in March, maybe even April, but June 27th is a bit of a surprise timing-wise.
Yeah, that's why, you know, I've had a couple people ask me, was this just because they didn't get Keon Brooks? And I was thinking to myself, you know, if it was just it had something to do with that or a specific thing that happened back during the season, I think that, you know, that would have they would have made the decision at the end of the season, which was, what, late March? So he's almost had 3 months go by since then. So I think overall it was probably more just a desire to go in a different direction. Maybe they already have somebody in mind that they want to bring aboard. But yeah, the timing is not necessarily ideal in terms of when you would want to make a change to your staff, because you have, once the season ends, you have end-of-season meetings with, you know, the returning players. You have spring recruiting, and they've already gotten into, you know, last weekend they had that showcase in Indianapolis. And I know this weekend there's going to be the event up in central Indiana with a lot of the high school teams. It's going to be an evaluation period. So there's a lot going on right now, and this is not the ideal time to make a change in the staff. But, you know, there must have been accumulation of things and just a desire to go in a different direction that ultimately led to this. But I agree, it's not necessarily the timing that you typically see with a change made to a coaching staff, especially at a place like Indiana.
Alex Bozich inside the hall joining Lee Kelly and I in this segment. You mentioned maybe somebody else in mind, and I know we're all speculating here, but given the timing of this, and again, we don't know any particulars or anything that's happened or hasn't happened, but given the timing of this, I mean, it's always possible that someone else that's currently appears to be settled into another assistant coaching role could up and leave to take this job at Indiana. We have to remember it is Indiana. It is a major college basketball program. There are a lot of assistant coaches that Archie Miller knows that would probably love to join his staff in the Big Ten Conference and for the Hoosiers. But you would almost assume, and again, you know what assuming can get you sometime, but you would almost have to assume that at this late point to make a change, there perhaps is someone somewhat lined up at least, because it's not like there's a lot of movement otherwise in the coaching carousel right now.
Right. That's kind of, you know, what I'm thinking as well. If you're going to do this at this time, you better have a plan, you know, plan A of who's going to take over, plan B, plan C, you know, down the line. You can't afford to have this go on for weeks or months without somebody on staff. The other thing that's interestingly been brought up a lot, and I guess not surprisingly on our message board, is, you know, do they need to get an IU guy? And, you know, Matt, we've talked about this a lot, even going back to when Archie Miller was hired. I've never been on board with just hiring somebody because they're an IU guy. I think if there's somebody out there that went to IU that makes sense and that is the best candidate out there, I think that's who you hire. But I think, you know, you have to – this is a critical season or two coming up for Archie Miller and his IU tenure, and they need to bring in the best fit who can help them, not just in one area. They need help with, obviously, player development, with a coach that can maybe bring something in terms of X's and O's from an offensive standpoint. And you also – I mean, the name of the game is getting players, and right now IU is I wouldn't say behind in the 2020 class, but they need to get some commitments here sooner rather than later. So if there's anyone out there that's going to help, you know, check all of those boxes, and I would actually probably put the recruiting at the top of the list, because if you don't get players, you don't really have a chance to win. So I think that's what they have to go out and look for with those things in mind first and foremost.
Alex, I know that we've talked, as you said, a lot about an IU guy, a connection on the staff, but equally as important to that, if not more important, in my estimation, given the fact that Archie Miller is not from the state or an IU guy and that none of the other assistant coaches are, although we should note that IU's assistants uniquely each kind of have a different recruiting base, which has to at some point prove helpful if it hasn't already for this program. But even more so than being an IU guy and understanding what it means to be at Indiana and the tradition of the program and being able to talk with players and recruits about what Indiana has been, what Indiana can be, embrace the culture of Indiana basketball, I think it's also important to have a guy that knows the high school coaches and the grassroots coaches, talking about AAU and SHU guys from the state, because it's such a way to be in with players. As you locate a new young prospect in the state and you've got someone on your staff that has known the coach at Gary West, I'll pull a school out of the air because of their great young player that's been identified recently. If somebody knows that coach or has some really ins with that community and program, it can be a big boost early on to get the recruiting process rolling with someone. And that's something on paper And that's something that was said about Ed Schilling when he was hired. His dad was a coach in the state. Ed Schilling is known by a lot of high school coaches. He's been active at the Indiana Basketball Coaches Association clinics for years, working with other coaches on skill development and things, even back to his days himself as a high school coach. So an IU guy, maybe there's some importance to that, but a guy that is truly, truly connected to the high school coaches and, even more important, the grassroots and the shoe-sponsored affiliations and folks like that in our state. To me, that might be even more important to have someone fill that role on your staff.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with everything you said, but, Matt, the one thing I would say I would caution against from that standpoint is you don't want to hire, like, I don't know if you saw Oklahoma State just hired a brother of, I think, the number two player in the 2020 or 21 class.
Yeah.
Just to kind of get one kid. I think you want to find somebody that has the ability to, that has a lot of relationships. And this might not be the best example because of how things ended with him at both IU and Louisville. But I'm talking about somebody in terms from a recruiting perspective, like a Kenny Johnson, who had a ton of built-in connections and was able to get players not only at IU and but also at Louisville because he had worked on the grassroots scene for a long time. He worked his way up, and he knew high school coaches. He knew AAU coaches from a specific part of the country. And if there's a person like that for the Midwest or the state of Indiana specifically, you know, I think that person's got to be at the top of the list, because if you can get, you know, two or three really good players from the Midwest every year, whether that be from Indiana, Michigan, Ohio, Illinois, and you can kind of have that pipeline built in, you're going to have a really good program, because as we see every year, there's great players coming out of Indiana. There's good players coming out of Illinois, Ohio. I mean, the list goes on. This is a, you know, fertile recruiting ground. So I think you got to find somebody that has those relationships already. If they're a good X's and O's coach and they can also help with player development, I think that's a big thing too. But the name of the game right now in college basketball is acquiring talent. If you don't have it, you're really putting yourself in not a great position. So I think that's got to be the main focus with this hire, is you find somebody that can help you get players first and foremost.
Would that be a young guy or an older guy, in your opinion, as we look at these names? And none of us, at least I don't have any idea of who they might look at, but you look at Penny Hardaway at Memphis, who knew a lot of guys in the AAU circuit and certainly seemed to help him with recruiting, at least as long as he knows those guys from his time period there. But would we be looking at somebody in the younger years as opposed to Ed Schilling, who's moved up in years a little bit?
Yeah, I don't – that's – hopefully Archie Miller has the answer to that question. He's getting paid $3.5 million a year to figure it out. So I'm sure he'll make whatever the best decision there. But you brought up Penny Hardaway, and the interesting thing, he's getting – there's a lot of people who are snarky about him on Twitter, and the funny part is that not only was he a superstar in the NBA with having that name recognition, but you know, he coached on the EYBL circuit. He coached high school basketball and built a ton of relationships in the Memphis area, and that's playing a big part of him being able to get these kids. So, you know, people think it's just a magic wand because he's Penny Hardaway. No, he actually went out and coached his own EYBL team. He actually coached high school basketball in the Memphis area. So this isn't somebody who just kind of rolled in off the golf course like some of these other guys, and like a Chris Mullen who just showed up one day at St. John's and said, hey, I want to be the coach. It didn't work out. But Penny Hardaway actually went, you know, and did a lot of the grunt work that is required to kind of move up through the business. So, you know, I don't know that you're ever going to find another guy like that who's kind of hit a home run and you know, been able to do what he's done on the recruiting trail. But, I mean, there's got to be some names in this part of the country, whether they're tied in with a specific shoe company, a specific AAU program, or they just have good connections with some of the, you know, the high school programs around this part of the country. There's got to be some names out there that kind of resonate from that perspective. And even if it's somebody that can only get, you know, one or two guys here for the next couple of years, I think that's going to be pretty critical because, you know, looking at the classes of 2020 and then more specifically 2021, you look at Caleb First, look at Christian Lander, you look at Luke Good, the kid, other kid from from Fort Wayne, and then obviously the kid from down here at Silver Creek. I mean, there's, I think, four top 100 players in the state. If you have somebody in mind that can help get two or three of those guys, I think that's a home run hire.
Alex Bozich inside the hall with us, joining Lee Kelly and I to talk IU basketball each Thursday here on the Hoosier Report. Let's move on from the coaching situation right now with Ed Schilling no longer with the program, creating an assistant coaching vacancy, and talk a little bit of recruiting. It's been so weird, Alex, to see Division I coaches on the road this month and read about Archie Miller and staff at different events, high school events across the country. I mean, I've been going to the underclassmen showcase in Indiana for a lot of years, and there always are lots of D2 and NAIAs, and of course Indiana's loaded with that level of program of school, and many of them are very good in their respective classifications. This year a little different. I think 90 plus Division I coaches at the underclassmen workout, and another big weekend is scheduled with the Charlie Hughes Shootout, which is taking place essentially in northern Indianapolis. There are all types of IU targets, old and young, on some of the very best high school teams in Indiana. I think it's 105 or more teams playing this weekend in the Charlie Hughes event. It's a different time of year to see the coaches out, and Indiana has made the most of it, not just getting out to see players, but also extending a number of scholarship offers here in the recent week and a half or so.
Yeah, I'm still not quite sure what to make of all of it. We covered the underclassmen shootout. We had our showcase. We had somebody up there doing some interviews with some of the top guys. It's just taking some time to get used to not having the shoe circuit events being the big priority necessarily. I mean, I know it's going to heat back up next month with Peach Jam and some of the Adidas and Under Armour events, but I think it's just taking some time to get used to. I don't necessarily think the coaches are going to like this as a setup long term, because, you know, when you go watch a high school team, you're probably, in most cases, only there for one guy, whereas with an EYBL type event, you can catch, you know, several guys potentially on the same team or going head-to-head, and I think that's the one thing that you know, is going to maybe make it a little bit less efficient from a scouting perspective. Now, I think the NCAA is trying to account a little bit for that by having those camps at the end of July, where they're going to have invite-only type events at various college campuses across the country to try to have some the higher-tier guys all in one place. But I just think these events kind of make it, you know, the underclassmen showcase may be a little bit different because you're inviting like a certain subset. But when you have just an event, as you mentioned, 105 high school teams, and you're only there to watch a couple kids, from a recruiting and an evaluation perspective, it's not necessarily the greatest use of time to only be able to see a certain number of guys in one spot. So I'll be interested to see how this all shakes out in the long run, if they keep it around, if they make changes. I just can't imagine that college coaches are really enjoying it all that much, because they want to use their time as efficient as possible, and watching a high school shootout to me is not necessarily the best use of time and resources in terms of being on the recruiting trail.
Saw a headline last night, I think, about the NCAA tightening up transfers and waivers, and I thought, wow, wonder what they've done. And I started reading through the article, and it appeared to be more just of clarifying language rather than changing rules. Have you heard anything to go along with what that has been to this point, what it might be in the future?
I have not, and I think I read the same headline story as you did. I think they're still pretty much in the exploratory kind of figuring all that out right now in terms of what changes they're going to make for sure. But I think from a PR perspective, if they make it harder for guys to transfer, they're going to get a ton of blowback and pushback. I mean, and, you know, the NBA right now is in this player empowerment movement, and I think in a lot of ways it's had a trickle-down effect to college basketball, where you realize that these coaches are making millions of dollars and the kids aren't really making anything, and anything that I think can help them in terms of being able to move around freely is going to be a positive. So I just don't think, the long-term, the best play for the NCAA is to kind of make it more restrictive on players. I mean, we're in an era now where everybody kind of agrees that player image and likeness is something that should be allowed, and it still seems like it's a long way away. And I think just to kind of make things harder on kids is not going to be well received. So I'll be interested to see where that goes. But to me, that was not an encouraging headline to read.
Alex Bozich, Inside the Hall, always with Lee and I on Thursdays. Alex, thanks for covering a lot of ground with us, and we'll do it again next week.
All right, guys, have a good day.
Alex Bozich, Inside the Hall, at Inside the Hall on Twitter. Great free coverage of IU basketball. Alex does it first class. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back with a final segment, cover a handful of different items to wrap up this Thursday program right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And welcome back. Matt Dennison, Lee Kelly here with the Thursday edition of our program. Final segment today. A couple notes that Lee and I wanted to fit in here before we close things out for the day. I don't know if this name will be familiar for many listeners. I would say some basketball diehards, the name might be familiar, but it's Gene Pignatore. He's the winningest boys basketball coach in Illinois history. He died Wednesday night at the age of 83. You ask, why are we talking about Coach Pignatore and him passing away last night? He was the coach of Isaiah Thomas in high school. He's from the Chicago area, a legend in obviously not just the state, but a legend in Chicago. He was Isaiah Thomas's coach. He was Daryl Thomas, who had the assist to Keith Smart for the national championship, winning fadeaway out of bounds three-pointer that you hear the highlight of every morning coming into our program. And so had a connection with Bob Knight and IU, obviously. He was also featured in a documentary that I watched. It's from back in the mid-90s called Hoops Dreams, about influential basketball figures. But he was still coaching. He was 83 when he passed away last night. He was still coaching. In fact, he was coaching in a shootout over the weekend with his high school team. Get ready for this. He was preparing for his 51st season at St. Joseph High School, which is located in Westchester, Illinois, outside of Chicago. So a little bit out of our area, but a guy that sure sent some influential players and names to the IU basketball program many, many years ago, and unbelievably enough, was still at it until his passing. What a way to go out. Coach, you know, all the way through last weekend, 51st season, doing what you love, great record, historical figure in the high school basketball world. I guess if there's a way to go, that would be it.
Yeah, I would think if you got to choose how it was going to happen, he would have chosen exactly that way. Or maybe as the winning shot goes through in the state finals and, you know. But, yeah, 51 years getting to do what you love. I don't know how it could get much better.
Also, Lee, I hope that you had a chance yesterday to listen, because we got to talk with one of your Dragons from Silver Creek, Cooper Jacoby, who was a great interview and told us a lot about his recruiting and what he and the Silver Creek team have been up to this summer. Speaking of talent, and speaking of it, Alex mentioned Trey Kaufman in the last segment. Those guys are going to be a lot of fun to watch over the next few years. Silver Creek in action this weekend at the Charlie Hughes shootout. I know I've mentioned a lot about that tournament. Kyle Nedenrip and I will preview it in a little bit more detail tomorrow for you, because I know some people are planning to go up and watch. They want to see some of these IU players and local teams. But Christian Academy, Jeffersonville, Providence, New Albany, and Silver Creek. So five local teams from Clark and Floyd County. That's a strong number of teams from our very immediate area. They're scheduled to go to the Charlie Hughes shootout. And again, Division I coaches will be there. I can promise you Archie Miller is going to be courtside for a ton of games at the Charlie Hughes event. It takes place at Carmel, at Hamilton Southeastern, and at North Central High School. Those are the main courts where the games will be taking place. But basically, you're going to be able to go to one of those places or go back and forth between those places. And if you really wanted to, you're going to see not just local players, but great players in our state from a lot of the different big schools that are going to have great high school basketball seasons. So it's going to be fun. I'm looking forward to a good weekend of basketball. The D1 coaches in the building always add to the environment. And it's kind of the last thing. The dead period starts Monday. So all the high school athletes at all sports will get a nice summer break of no workouts and no coaches yelling at them or no scrimmage games or anything like that. But it'll be a great weekend. And Kyle Nedenrip's going to join us tomorrow to talk about the Charlie Hughes shootout. We're going to talk a little bit about – people say, who's Charlie Hughes? He was a great guy, a legend in our state that's no longer with us, unfortunately, that started this event. Of course, he would probably roll over in his grave with excitement and do a dance or a jig if he knew that college coaches could now attend this event, which I know would make him excited. But and we'll preview like who all the prospects are from an IU perspective and the teams and that sort of thing tomorrow. So if you want to know more about this big summer basketball extravaganza, tune in to Kyle Nedenrip and I tomorrow in the Hoosier Report.
Yeah, and final note, last night I forgot to buy my lottery ticket during the day, so I had to run down to the local grocery to get one. And there's a young man standing there as I'm waiting in line. He's got on a gorgeous baseball uniform. When he turns around, it has New Albany across the front. And I said, did you win tonight? And he said, yes, we did. We beat HYR tonight, and said we didn't play so well last night. But on the back of his uniform, it has Wilkerson on the name. But gorgeous black uniform trimmed in red, and it just brought back great memories, not so much of the uniforms, because we never, when I played, when I coached, when I was on the board, never had anything like that, but just a great time of the year, young people playing in tournaments, playing in other types of events as well with baseball, and it's all coming up for us starting on Tuesday here on WXVW, but young man was excited. He was happy.
That's great. We will be at the ballpark, Jeff GRC Little League, Tuesday night for a 12-year-old pool play game. They tell me this should be a really good one. New Albany and Silver Creek, the two favorites in that 12-year-old major baseball division, which is the division where if you win the district, you go to the state. If you win the state, you go to the Great Lakes Regional. And if you win that, you find yourself in Williamsport, Pennsylvania. Lee, thanks for being with me today. I will talk with you soon, see you at the ballpark soon, and I'll be back on the Hoosier Report tomorrow at 11 a.m. right here on the Big X Sports Radio.